We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
B-Mitch and Finley, we're back. 106.7 The Fan. Make sure you're following along the show on social media. We got a Twitter and Instagram account, at B-Mitch and Finley. Follow Brian, at B-Mitch Live, NBCS. You can follow me, at JP Finley, NBCS. You can even follow Landfill, at Mullins, 106.7. I still think you should make it Landfill, 106.7. Have you thought about that? Why not? All right. And you can follow Cody Betts, but I can never remember what the hell his handle is.
Cody Shook _.
You should make it Cody Betts.
Not everybody calls me that, just here.
Here's where most people hear you, dude.
You're right. I'm still trying to get Cody _Shook. They won't let me have it.
They won't?
Just get Cody Betts.
When he just made that statement, he kind of sounded a little bit like Stallion.
A little Stallion-esque.
Yeah. It did.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Sorry, pal. Nobody wants to be compared to the Stallion. Here's what I wanted to do, though. Saturday afternoon, butt hot, but a lot of fun. Went out on the Potomac River on my buddy's little boat. Have you ever been out? And we're going, like, north. We were up kind of by, like, the Trump Golf Course, like, out that way. I had never seen this. These grasses grow in the river.
Yeah.
The thickness. It's basically like Christmas trees are growing under the water. It's wild, dude.
Yeah.
It was, and got caught up in the boat engine. I'd never seen anything like it. But
y'all tried to run over it?
Yeah.
And how long your buddy had this boat?
Well, he has a jet. He's a big hunter, so he has a boat designed for like really shallow stuff. So it's a jet, not a prop, and you can go over it basically.
Okay.
But you know where you enter the river up there is these tiny little creeks and tributaries. So I posted a video on my Instagram. Did you see that video of us going through the little like tunnel out into the river? I got a million people asking me questions if I was in Venice. I was like, no, I'm not in Venice. I'm in Gaithersburg.
Yeah, I'll be back tomorrow.
Yeah, like I'm in like, I don't even know where I was. Like Damascus, Maryland, maybe. I don't know what, Darnestown, perhaps. Maybe Potomac. I don't know. But so you're on this little creek that connects to the Potomac. And it is, I mean, shockingly loud. Like unbelievably loud. You have since explained to me, which makes sense, that these cicadas are mating.
Yep.
And like most beings, when they mate, they make noise.
Where did you post this picture again?
It was on my Instagram, but it was just a story. It might have expired already. And it was so damn loud. And even playing golf, you played golf this weekend. Yeah. It's stunningly loud. The sound
when
of
you
these
get to some
bugs.
Of the older, bigger trees where they have established themselves for every 17 years, it's ridiculous.
So I'm in the woods on the river. Like this is cicada heaven. This is the cicada Playboy mansion. Like the amount of mating going on. You ever heard of hedonism in Jamaica? That's where I was for cicadas, basically. They can do anything they want. It got me thinking, where have I been that's louder than this? And so then I started coming up with my list of the loudest places I've been. So not all stadiums, but mostly stadiums.
Okay.
And we were all texting about it. And B-Mitch has his list that we're going to reveal tomorrow, I think. And B-Mitch's list is going to be different because he was a player. But I've been on the field in some of these places. I've seen some pretty wild stuff. So, Lanville, do you want me to go in reverse order? Okay. So, I have my top 10. I believe I have 10.
I'm doing 5.
That's cool. 10th on the list.
All right.
When Robert Griffin III busted that 75-yard run against the Minnesota Vikings, that's the loudest I've ever heard FedEx Field. I remember Larry Michaels call electrifying. Mm-hmm. That place went bananas. Just bananas. And I even think that run was even louder than the Week 17 game against the Cowboys, because it was one singular play that just made everybody go crazy.
Mm-hmm.
That is number 10 on my list. Number 9 on my list. I don't remember the year, but Jason Wirth hit a walk-off home run at Nats Park. I believe it was game 4 of a first-round series.
I think that was 2012 against the Cardinals.
It had to be later than 2012.
Okay.
You think?
I'm pretty sure it was 2012.
Dollar bet?
Sure.
Walk-off home run. I'm Googling it. 2013. Booyah. Lanville owes me a dollar. That Nats Park went crazy. And it was, again, it was like a singular moment that everybody was on their feet going nuts. I remember we didn't even have tickets. We, like, somehow just had passes to go to, what do they call the bar above center field now? I think it used to be called, like, Red Loft. We didn't have tickets. We were just up there standing. Mm-hmm. And it went crazy in there. That's number 9. Number 8. Oh, did I count enough right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I did. Number 8 on my list, going way back to when I was in college, the last ever game at Cole Fieldhouse for the University of Maryland was against UVA, and they just rolled them. And the last Duke game, I'm tying these. The last Duke game at Cole Fieldhouse, when Steve Blake slapped the ball away from Jason Williams, I mean, it's a pretty iconic highlight for Maryland fans, and went in for the bucket right before halftime, that place was electric. It was crazy, crazy loud.
Hold on. We have to go back and correct something that you have misstated previously.
Great.
Jason Wirth's walk-off home run in Game 4 of the NLDS against the Cardinals was in 2012.
Damn it.
It was October 11th, 2012, I believe.
Get some money without a...
No, I'll tell you the truth. I'm looking at this.
You Googled, and then the first thing that pops up is like from MLB.com or something, and it's a video that was posted in 2013.
Correct.
It was also posted in November, though, so maybe that should have been a tip-off.
Yeah, Lanville's right. I owe him a dollar. Thanks for clearing that up.
Lanville, this dude here, what the hell?
All right, so Skins Vikings 2012, Jason Wirth 2012. I mean, I'm going back to 2002 for my Maryland polls here. That game against Duke, the last game in Cole Fieldhouse, wild. Now I'm going to Las Vegas. You ready for this one, B?
Mm-hmm.
I went out to Vegas for game 1 of the Caps Stanley Cup. Now, some of that was kind of manufactured noise, but because Vegas, it's like they have like a damn concert before the start of the puck drop. But it was wildly loud in there. And indoor arenas, even though it's only whatever that place sits, 20, 22,000 compared to football stadiums where you got 80,000, indoors can hold that volume at a higher capacity. That place was really, really, really loud. Hmm. Next for me, this one was fun. We're going to Columbia, South Carolina. Spurrier's coaching, I don't know what year this was. My guess is probably right around that 2012 time frame, and maybe like 2010. Number 1 ranked Alabama comes to town. And I'm there, my buddy Jamie and my buddy Dowd and my buddy Phil. We got tanked in the parking lot, and it was so hot. We like had to eat. I remember I thought I was going to get like heat exhaustion. But that place, when South Carolina beat Alabama, I'm trying to figure out what year. South Carolina stuns Alabama, maybe? The entire state
was
screaming. So this is October 9th, 2010. South Carolina was 19. Bama was number one. I'm telling you, the entire state was screaming. Alshon Jeffrey and Marcus Lattimore were on that team. I don't remember who was on Bama, but that place was so loud. Williams-Brice is the stadium, I believe. They get after it down there.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Number five on my list. The Portis Cooley Gibbs team that beat the Bucks in the wild card game. Uh-huh. So I think 2006, right? Yeah. 2005, Landfill says, but this would have been January of 06. So me and my buddy Peter flew down to Tampa for that game. They won. I was like, no, I didn't. You know what? This must have been the Todd Collins year when they went on the very improbable run.
I think that would be 2007.
And they lost in Seattle in the playoffs, right? And
right.
That was the year Sean Taylor passed?
Yes.
That game. And I've worked games now in that Seattle stadium, so I kind of know. I understand that some of it is like engineering to keep the sound in. But that game,
can't be mad at it though.
That Seahawks crowd is yes. The real deal. That game where they had a chance. Is that where like Carlos Rogers fielded a? They thought Rogers scored a touchdown on a kickoff that the Seahawks guy didn't cover right. You remember that? But then the Washington just got the ball at like the six. He wasn't able to advance it, and I think they were held to a field goal. Todd Collins, I think he had Santana wide open deep. And between his weak arm and that Seattle wind, the ball was like 15 yards short. But Washington was in that game, and that Seattle crowd was crazy. Crazy, crazy. All right, my top four. Do you want to guess what teams were involved in the top four games, loudest places I've ever been? One of them was with you.
Yeah, that's New Orleans.
That's number one. We'll get to that. So, for number four, we're going to Tuscaloosa, Alabama. Mitch Tischler and I flew down 2 years ago, the Joe Burrow Tua game, when LSU was number two, Bama was number one. They called it the game of the century in college football. That game lived up to the hype and then some.
Two fanatical fan bases.
I mean, just maniacs down there. Absolute maniacs. Mitch, you ever seen the picture of Mitch with the Bear Bryant hat on?
Yeah.
You know that he just took that off some dude's head? Like, he didn't buy that at a shop. Like, he decided, this is my hat now. And the guy was just like, all right. Like, it was pretty funny. We had the absolute worst seats you can have in that stadium. We were the top row. Corner end zone. The absolute worst seats you can have in that stadium. But at the same time, the audio, when you're in the top like that, and I think that place is 110,000 or something, mm-hmm. and everyone is going crazy. So Trump was there. Trump waved to the crowd, and that crowd was very excited to see Donald Trump. And then 45 seconds later was kickoff of the game of the century. Unreal audio. Like, unreal how loud that place was. And that's your neck of the woods. I mean, these people love football, love college football in a way.
They love it more than anything you can think about.
They love each other like the cicadas love each other right now. They would mate college football if they could.
Yeah.
That's number four. So imagine how loud some of these other things are. Washington football team, am I allowed to say Redskins if I'm talking about a game in 2017 when they were the Redskins? I think I am. Kirk Cousins, Monday Night Football, Arrowhead. Alex Smith, ironically, quarterback of the other team. The Redskins have a late drive, Monday Night Football. Arrowhead is legendary. Did you ever play there?
Yeah.
It's loud. Mm-hmm. They got that giant drum. It's loud. Late in that game, Kirk has a drive down the field to win it. Throws in the corner to Josh Doctson. Anybody remember this? Doctson goes way up. I bet he jumps 3 feet in the air. High points the ball. Sure as hell looks like a catch. comes down, hits the ground, ball's out. They replay it. No touchdown. No touchdown. That Arrowhead crowd, which is probably, what do you figure, 85,000 or something?
Yeah, close to.
Goes crazy. Just crazy. That was wildly loud. That's number three. The top two on my list are both in the Superdome. Both with the Washington football team losing to the New Orleans Saints. The first one, it was a Monday night game. Again, you do not need to give the city of New Orleans Monday night games. Like, I mean, they're
give them a 1 o'clock game on a Sunday and it'd be loud.
Absolutely.
Yeah. They had all weekend to drink.
Monday night, Drew Brees is likely to break Dan Marino's all-time passing yards record. They're like, oh, he needs like 220 yards. He got it in the first half. Connected on it. That was the he connected on a deep ball over Josh Norman to break the record in the first half in just a waxing. The Washington football team got throttled in this game. That the Superdome, which is also domed. So yep. Say the Superdome's 70,000, something like that.
Sounds like 170.
It's crazy. But that was still not as loud as the game you and I were in, New Orleans. I pulled it up.
On the sideline.
This is November 19th, 2017. That somehow NBC had the bright idea to send me and B-Mitch to Louisiana together. This is when we were riding around in the back of a pickup truck drinking daiquiris with Maniac. Maniac brought his priest just in case anything went down.
Yeah, that was funny as hell.
We were picking crabs. It was just a wild weekend. That's the game Rossini always talks about seeing me on the sideline before the game. Washington is up 2 touchdowns in this game.
That's November when?
November 19th, 2017. Yeah, it was right. I think it was right before Thanksgiving. The Saints come back in a wild, wild overtime. Chris Thompson broke his leg in that game, yeah. If you remember. And B-Mitch and I, some stadiums let you down, let the media down to the field for the last 2 minutes. Some stadiums do, some stadiums don't. I was in L.A. at the Coliseum when Mason Foster grabbed that interception to seal that win over the Rams. Remember, Rob Kelly had a huge day. Some stadiums do, some stadiums don't.
Yeah.
Me, Brian Mitchell, and Tony Wiley, former Washington football team PR chief, are standing together. Do you remember this?
Mm-hmm.
And the Skins just blow it. They just blow the lead. The Saints score twice. Goes to overtime. So we go down for the last 2 minutes, but then we're there for all of overtime because you're already there. They're not kicking you out at that point. That was the wildest, loudest crowd I've ever been around.
Yeah.
And maybe being down on the field gave me different perspective. That's a perspective you know. But holy moly.
I would think that's the loudest. It's close. It's two games, and it'll be a football game and a basketball game.
You got to do your list tomorrow.
And I'm going to tell you, being inside of a building and not being an actual player, these two games, I was – that game, well, that'll be one of them. But the other game, overwhelmed by how loud it was.
All right, I can't wait to hear your list. Because I also think – regular season, big games might deliver more than when you get to playoffs or certainly you start getting to Super Bowl and stuff because that becomes like a higher dollar, more corporate crowd.
I don't know.
All right. B-Mitch's list tomorrow. Coming up next, we got to ask Keim this. John Keim, ESPN, Washington football team reporter, will join the program. Do a little.
John went to some Ohio State
games. Yeah, dude. I bet he's got some Ohio State Michigan games.
Yes.
That'll be fun. We're talking to John Keim next, 106.7 The Fan.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Bemich and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Just went through my loudest sports moments. Bemich will reveal his list tomorrow. I'm going to ask our next guest, Mr. John Keim, on the BetQL guest line. Bet smarter, beat the books, download the BetQL app today, or visit BetQL.com. You can follow John on Twitter, at John_Keim. Make sure you listen to his podcast as well. Keim, what's up, man? I just ranked the loudest stadiums I've been in. Are there any off the top of your head that stand out as the loudest for you?
I mean, the Superdome's always in there, right? Because I think that would probably – and part of it is, first of all, it's very loud. And also where they position us as reporters, you hear the sound. You're near the roof. So, like, the sound goes up there. I think St. Louis back in the day was really loud. Minnesota was really loud. I mean, all the domes.
My top two on my list were games I was with you for both of them. Well, the loudest one, I think, was when the Saints came back against Washington when Kirk had that bizarre grounding and Chris Thompson broke his leg. That game was crazy. And the night Drew Brees broke the passing record. Those were my top two. That place was just nuts. I thought you'd have the horseshoe on there.
Yeah.
For loudest, the hard part is, you know, with the loudest, though, it's going to be a dome stadium because it's just there's nowhere for the sound to go.
Yep.
So for outdoor venues, you know, I think Seattle's up there because whether or not they pipe in noise or not, the way it's constructed, the noise stays in there. And, you know, I think for like the horseshoe, the noise just kind of filters out. It's gotten louder because they've been closing a little bit more. One of the loudest games I've been at was when they clinched a spot in the BCS against Miami in 2002 by beating Michigan. You know, so that was one of the louder sports moments that I've
– So that was the game where McGahee blew up his knee, that title game?
Yeah, that title game. Yeah, so that was like – but they had intercepted a pass in the end zone late in the game to beat Michigan. So that was a loud.
A lot of happy Ohioans
that like, day. Certainly as a reporter, I think the Superdome has to be at the top of the list.
I'm with you.
It's up there.
So let's turn our eyes to minicamp. Mandatory – mini camp this week for the Washington football team. It's the last practice they're going to have until we get on the field in Richmond for training camp. Kind of what are the top or two or three items that you really want to see this week, John?
Well, before I continue, B. Mitch, I think you silenced that crowd a couple times with some punt returns, didn't you, back in the day?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I remember that. That was that's
some of the loudest things I've been in. I've heard them be as quiet as they could possibly be, too.
Yeah, but I remember I think – Yeah, you had. I just remember way back when that you had a big day against them there. So, anyways, I'm sorry, JP. Well,
just looking ahead this week to minicamp. What are top two or three things you're looking for?
Just to see how Chase Young is moving around. We haven't seen him yet. He's expected to attend the now that it's mandatory. Just seeing how he looks. The guy is seeing how he's going to build off a good rookie season. I think that's one thing to look for. I think the continued development of certain players, like whether it's a Samus Reyes, I mean, he looked better last week than he did a few weeks ago. Guys like, you know, some of the rookies, De'Ami Brown, Benjamin St. Juice, you know, Cosme Davis, those guys, how do they continue to develop? How does the relationship between Ryan Fitzpatrick and the receivers continue to develop? And I mean, we're not going to see a lot of things different than what we've seen over the last couple of weeks. And so to me, it's always just a baseline to move forward into training camp and then to see where do guys take their games from mini camp to training camp. And I always use the one guy I always use as an example of why you pay attention is a guy like Terry McLaurin. Mm-hmm. Because in minicamp, if you remember his rookie year, not that he didn't look bad. It's just that he wasn't beating guys the way he was in training camp as a rookie. And I remember talking to him about that, and you could see, like, even in minicamp, you'd see receivers who weren't fooled necessarily by his routes. Well, McLaurin would quiz these guys, and like Dominic Rogers-Cromartie among them, why are you biting on this run? What am I giving away? What am I doing here? And then he would work on all that stuff, and then you go to training camp, and now he starts beating guys. Now, you don't see that kind of quick improvement from a lot of guys, but it is part of the progression. So that's why, like I said, these are all baselines, and then to see where they go from there.
Don't you think as an overall, you start seeing when you get to the mandatory minicamp where the coaches are starting to put little things in at the end of it to make sure guys pay attention to it when they're gone? And you start seeing who are they putting there first, second, third team.
Yeah, oh, yeah. And I think, you know, and with this group, I think there's just they've kind of kept some of the lines together the same way. So you get a feel for some of that now. I think, you know, then it's you start to see maybe some of the other sub-packages that the way they're using them too, right? So I think that's also part of it as well, yeah.
Yeah, I think they're going to be doing legit installations offensively this week so that ideally they're kind of hitting the ground running in minicamp in August, or training camp rather. John.
Right. And I think like that's one of the things. That's why one of the things that they felt comfortable with in knocking off one of the OTA weeks and kind of as a reward for all these guys showing up was how many days it takes to install their system, and it's 9 days. So there are going to be more. There's going to be more of an installation. Some of that stuff is just hard for us to necessarily pick out right away. You know what I mean? Like
right. That's
something you'd have to go back and watch, and you have to talk to them because we're not always going to notice all that. Like, oh, okay, that's a new install, right? But that is definitely something from the player's perspective that's going on. It'll finish their install and then go from there.
So John, we did something. Maybe last week, I don't remember. I've been saying that I expect John Bates to be a guy, a rookie, that's going to have an important role for this team. You know, this time last year, nobody was talking about Cam Curl, and then he emerged to have a really important role for the team. Are there any, don't have to be rookies, but just young players that you think could be in a position, whether it's just because of depth of the position group or their ability to have a big year this year?
I mean, I'll go with John Bates on that one. And I also think Benjamin St. Juice. But Bates, because Bates, you know, I mean, listen, we're seeing stuff on air, right? So it's really hard to say. But I think he's a guy who could provide a little bit of help this year, right? And
Yep. Not,
you know, sitting here saying he's going to be a 50-catch guy, but I think he's a guy that can definitely help them as a blocker and then as a receiver. He's not going to blow by people, but I think he has a good sense of where he needs to be. And when you watch him, he has a wide catch radius, right? He extends his arms well, and he can reach behind and grab something, right? And so I think that's something. Benjamin St. Juice, I kind of like the way he was moving around last week when we watched him. I feel like I felt like he played pretty disciplined with his eyes, and felt like he was always ready to react to changes in his area. And so, like, okay, see how that develops. And I think because of his size, he gives them another option at corner.
Yeah.
You know, he's got length, and you're going to face some teams that have bigger receivers. They can match up with them better than they could have without him, right? So I think he's another guy that I'm curious to see as well.
Right. I mean, John, the guy last year, the receiving core had some guys that had opportunities. I don't think they took advantage of it. This year, they've added people at receiver. Who do you think may kind of be that odd man out as we go into this minicamp?
Yeah, I think obviously it depends if they keep six or seven. And with this group, maybe you end up keeping seven because there is that might allow them to keep a guy like a Kelvin Harmon or an Antonio Gandy-Golden. You know, I mean, there's going to be that kind of competition where you may not be able to keep both those guys if you only keep six. I mean, because you look at it right now, you have Samuel, you have Terry McLaurin, you have Adam Humphries, you know, De'Ami Brown, I think Cam Sims. So then you get six. If you keep seven, Harmon and Gandy-Golden look pretty good, right? And Gandy-Golden has to show more than he did last year. I'm not going to sit here and say he's going to get cut. We have to see because his injuries stunted his growth last year as a receiver. And then before the injuries, he was kind of taking a little bit of time to really acclimate, right? And you didn't
go from Liberty to the NFL. It's tough.
That's a hell of a jump.
And you didn't see enough from him during practice. You said, "Oh, okay, that's what they're seeing." We never really got to that point because then when he started to acclimate himself, he had to deal with injuries. So how does he progress? Kelvin Harmon.
Well, John, you and I were talking about Harmon on the sideline last week.
Yeah.
Now, he missed last year with the ACL. Speed's never really been his game anyway. He's tough. He's physical. He's willing to block. Listed at 6'2", 215. You know what I'm thinking, B. Mitch. John, we talked about, is that a guy you try to bulk up a little bit and see if he can play inside a tight end?
Right, and I think because he does have that physical style, and I think if you don't think that he can help you as a receiver, then you start to explore that. Now, the best time to do that, obviously, is in the off season because that's when you can add the weight, and he would have to add some weight. And, you know, so it would be hard to make that move right now, but I think that's something where you look down the road, is that something if he doesn't make it or if they don't think he can make it because they do like his traits, then maybe that can translate over there. And so, yeah, I could see that down the road. But I think right now it would be hard to ask him to go, okay, now we're going to switch you to tight end during training camp when you're down at 215, you know?
Right. Well, you probably don't want him adding that weight while he's rehabbing an injury. You want him to get back healthy
I think that's a down-the-road thing if it doesn't work out. But, like, you know, he does have some physical they like that physical style that he offers.
Yep.
And, you know, but if Gandy-Golden starts to have a good camp, then now you're looking at, like, well, what's the role for Harmon, right? And then you have, like, Isaiah Wright, who was on the roster last year, kind of plateaued at the end. Where is he? And then we didn't even talk about Steven Sims.
Mm. Or Dax Milne, who they just drafted.
Or Dax Milne. And, and Dax, like, to me, he's an interesting one because I kind of think that he's a guy that, if you're planning for the future, he is a good pick because you can put him in the slot and let him develop, but you have Adam Humphries there right now. So Humphries is on a one-year deal. You get Milne up to speed through the year, and then maybe you've got your slot guy next year. I don't know, but that's the progression that you could see for a guy picked where he was.
John, we always appreciate it. Everybody check out at @John_Keim and the John Keim podcast, the John Keim Report, pardon me. Thank you for the time, buddy.
Thanks, guys.
All right, man.
All right, that was John Keim. Next, Landfill wants to talk about Australian pizza, and I'm being serious. 106.7 The Fan.
What's up, everybody? It's Brian Mitchell for Paul Henry's Window Insulation. You've heard me talking about Paul and that he's going to be replacing all the windows in my home with soft light windows. And you know the reason I love Paul? Because Paul has a family-owned business, and he's also honest and upfront with his pricing. He doesn't try to sit up there and pull your leg and tell you one thing and it's going to cost you something else. You know, he's very honest, and I think that sold me off the bat. Is the sound of your summer going to be your air conditioning unit running almost nonstop? Well, Paul Henry's Window Insulation can make your home more comfortable and quieter with new windows. All inefficient windows lead to heat gain in your home, which means a higher electric bill because the air conditioning unit is working overtime to cool your home. Right now at Paul Henry's Window Insulation, you can save $120 per Marvin and Soft Light Windows when you order 5 windows or more and 10% off Provia doors. Paul Henry's Window Insulation, the clear home improvement choice. PaulHenry'sWindows.com or you can call them at 540-359-6842.
B. Mitchell Finley, we are back, 106.7 The Fan. If you missed our interview with John Keim talking about the Washington football team's minicamp, hit the rewind button on the Odyssey app. It'll take you right there.
Yeah.
Right now, however, Lanfield is very excited. He's got breaking news about pizza in Australia.
Pizza!
Yeah, I do have breaking news. So, you know, this weekend, what I was doing is I was actually watching Australian rules football, and they had some commercials there for Domino's. And the Domino's in Australia, not American Domino's, Australian Domino's. And I saw some of the pizzas that they had, and I was just, I was sad at how much better they looked than anything that we had.
Let's hear about these pizzas.
All right, so first off, they have...
I'll also say this. I like Domino's. We order from Domino's. Domino's thin crust is very good and crunchy. Mm-hmm. Domino's pan pizza, I guess it's kind of their deep dish. Super buttery, very good. And I just found this out. Domino's has like a Brooklyn style, also quite good.
Oh, really?
I'm pro Domino.
I also enjoy Domino's, but that's why it was so distressing for me to just see, you know, how good we could be living and how good we could have it. First off, they have a crispy barbecue Peking duck and bacon pizza.
Excuse me?
Crispy barbecue Peking duck and bacon pizza.
That sounds good.
That sounds fantastic.
That sounds gross.
I don't.
I mean,
you want duck, barbecue duck on your pizza?
Yes.
Yeah, it's just meat.
Yeah, more than I want anything in the world, I want barbecue duck.
You love duck, Lanfield. You talk about duck often.
It's delicious.
Yeah, I feel like most people don't talk about duck
when you
very
walk around
frequently.
Here quacking?
They have low and slow barbecue brisket pizza, smoky beef brisket cooked low and slow, Tasmanian vintage cheddar, crispy rasher bacon, diced tomato, red onion, all on a barbecue and garlic sauce base. Tell me that doesn't sound better than anything we have.
I would rather have a pepperoni pizza than that.
Why? What's
because
wrong with you?
Because he's just used to having a pepperoni pizza. He don't like to try different things.
Read it one more time.
Oh, my God. Smoky beef brisket cooked low and slow, Tasmanian vintage cheddar, crispy rasher bacon, diced tomato,
so,
red
listen,
onion.
Don't read me the marketing. So it's bacon, barbecue, cheddar,
mm-hmm.
onions,
sure.
which is a deal breaker immediately.
You are terrible at
Why
food.
Why are you scared of onions?
Onions are disgusting.
You get a 0 out of 10 for food.
Onions are a scourge on our world.
Onions
are the equivalent of opioids. Like, get them out of here. They're bad for people.
You're sounding kind of stupid.
Yeah, I don't think that's the case at all.
You're sounding kind of stupid right now, though.
Onions are gross.
No,
and I'd like to curse about it, but I'm not allowed
to. You eat onions in everything you probably
eat. No, I don't. I don't eat raw onions.
You don't eat raw onions. Mm-hmm. But you eat onions in damn near every meal you're getting from anywhere that's already prepared.
Not in my house.
Onions are in basically everything.
So you don't think your wife don't use no onions at all?
They're banned. I've banned them from
Man,
my home.
Please. We already know you don't run it, so stop
like,
that.
Now, are there onions in salsa? Sure. Are there onions in some salad dressing? Sure.
Okay, but well, you're eating it.
I avoid them. They're disgusting. Anyway, what's next on the Australian pizza review, Lanfield?
They have peri-peri chicken pizza. It's a flavorsome pairing of seasoned chicken pieces, Italian cherry tomatoes, sliced red onion, and baby spinach topped with a swirl.
Sounds like they put a lot of onion on
peri-peri
pizza in Australia.
Sauce.
Listen.
Onions on pizza is good. You're just wrong about this.
Very.
You're just going to have to accept that people enjoy that.
Here's a real question.
Mm.
Do they have Outback in Australia?
They do, actually. They have a couple.
That's remarkable.
Yeah.
That's where it came from.
That's right. It's authentic Australian cuisine.
I'm
of
sure
course they have
authentic.
Them in Australia.
I'm sure it's authentic. I also love Outback.
Shrimp on the barbie.
Yeah, it's fantastic. They also serve a lot of onions. It's one of their signature dishes.
Yeah, onion.
And I'll say this.
A fried onion.
As long as I take a heartburn pill in advance, I can get down with a blooming onion.
In other words,
you just refuted your entire argument.
You haven't banned onions. You just are one of these old people that get all kind of issues.
I love French onion soup,
mm.
and I try to avoid eating the onions, which is tough to do. And I like onion
you
rings.
You order onion soup and you don't like onions.
What's that?
Correct.
What's that saying that?
What are you doing?
What are you doing?
I'm trying to think of the saying. What's my man that Jonesy says about opening your mouth and removing all doubt about stuff?
I thought that was Big John.
No, I think Jonesy says it all the time, too. He need to call in and tell you that today.
They also have something called the fire breather. It's pepperoni, smoky leg ham, seasoned ground
leg
beef.
Leg ham sounds
fiery
gross.
Fiery jalapenos, tomato, and sliced red onion with a hint
Everything
of chili flakes.
Look, this dude
Beamish, does leg ham sound good to you?
Yes, sounds phenomenal.
Just call it ham. Don't call it leg ham.
Where do you think ham comes from?
Where do you think ham and most stuff come from?
How come nobody else on earth calls it leg ham? Leg ham makes it sound very weird and gross.
A person that eats however old anything, he's sitting up here making everything gross.
Who else on earth eats kangaroos?
My beef is with the marketing people calling this thing leg ham. Just call it ham.
I love their marketing people.
But it's a ham off the leg.
They also serve milkshakes. And
you want leg ham, Landfill.
Their sides are, instead of whatever nonsense we have at Domino's here, they have pepperoni puff rolls, which are golden, flaky, indulgent puff pastry filled with stretchy mozzarella, pepperoni, and pizza sauce. That sounds phenomenal. Mm.
That sounded good. Give me that one more time.
It's pepperoni puff rolls, golden, flaky, indulgent puff pastry filled with stretchy mozzarella, pepperoni, and pizza sauce.
That sounds quite good.
They have milkshakes. They have ice cream.
What kind? Are there any weird flavor milkshakes?
It's like a cheese puff with some cheese.
No, it's like caramel, inside. Chocolate, vanilla.
Caramel's kind of a weird flavor.
It's
but
definitely not.
If you go to West Virginia, this is a real thing. If you go to West Virginia, they have pepperoni rolls. Cody went to college there. Describe them. They're fantastic.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, dough, and you put pepperonis and cheese inside them. They're fantastic.
Basically,
it's a huge thing there.
Pizza.
If you go to Sheetz, they have pepperoni rolls.
You go to Sheetz. One of you two goes to Sheetz with some regularity, correct?
Yeah.
Please bring in pepper. I will pay for pepperoni rolls from Sheetz.
All right.
I would love to eat those. Will you have one of my pepperoni rolls, Brian?
I just have a pepperoni roll. I don't want your pepperoni
You don't want
roll.
My pepperoni
yeah.
roll?
Yeah.
Cody, do you want my pepperoni roll?
I'm bringing them in, so yeah.
Do you prefer leg ham?
Well, tell him you
no
bring
leg
in,
ham
you,
here.
You bring in your own pepperoni roll.
If you could pick.
Cody doesn't eat lettuce. Well, we can't ask him about food.
Landfill, you're only allowed to pick one. You can have my pepperoni roll or my leg ham.
I'm going what would leg you prefer? Ham all day, every day.
My leg ham.
I don't even know what that means.
I don't either.
He trying to say something off of, we don't want you.
Yeah, we don't want anything to do with you.
I mean, no.
We definitely want leg ham.
If I was,
I don't want leg ham. I want regular ham.
If I was Idi Amin's grandson, I would want to eat your leg.
If my options were leg ham or death, I'd choose death. Leg ham sounds disgusting. And I love ham. But give me regular ham.
Ask a question.
What the hell is leg ham?
What's the difference between leg ham, butt ham, side ham? It's ham.
It's ham.
So how is it so damn disgusting just because it's one particular part?
I don't call it leg ham. Just call it ham. Side ham sounds good. I'll have a side ham. I'll have a cheeseburger, a hot dog, and a side ham. I like the sound of that. I'll take a caramel milkshake, a weird Australian pizza, and a side ham.
A little weird, little pompous little kid. That's what you sound like.
Because I don't want leg ham?
It always comes from the leg, JP.
Yeah, I think all ham is leg ham.
It sounds rather pathetic what he's up here doing.
Does it? I just think leg ham sounds weird. I've never heard that in my life.
The ham hock
well,
is part of the leg.
That's why you need to broaden your horizon. Just
had
a
you
bit.
Heard of leg ham until
yes,
he read that?
I have.
I never heard of leg ham one day in my life. Let's get back to football.
Get some arm ham.
Who are the best?
Arm and hammer.
I don't want arm ham either. Although arm ham sounds better than leg ham to me.
No, it doesn't.
Coming up next, top five football teams. Washington football. We just say top five Redskins teams. Top five Washington football teams of the last 20 years, also known as the Dan Snyder era. B-Mitch might have been on one of them. Let's do that next.
I was on the top one.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.